Today, it's Edwin's Monday Evening Property Rant. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. And just a quick reminder that tomorrow, Tuesday, I'll be joined by Megan Wells on my live at 8 p.m. Sydney time. We're going to be discussing the Queensland property market and, of course, looking at Brisbane and beyond Brisbane. And given all the interest in Brisbane and the surrounding areas, it'll be a very interesting show. So join me at 8 p.m. Sydney time and you can ask a question live. It's another Monday. And so, of course, Edwin is with me. Hi, Edwin. How are you going?
It's another Monday, Martin, and we're here. We're happy to be here, actually. I was, in a way, the way that things were panning out, we thought it was going to, there was going to be some natural disasters, but then that talk about positive thinking and positive stories and the positive outlook on what we're going through, it worked. It's worked, Martin. Yep. We're safe and back live again.
Yeah, the art of positive thinking, never mind how things really are, just think positive and they'll be fine again.
Yeah, that's right. Or it's a bit of deja vu with a little bit more pain. I almost nailed my finger to the ceiling joist a few weeks back, as I shared. Every now and again I tap it or bump it into something else, especially in the cold mornings, and it reminds me, I'm still here. But then again, a bit of pain just means that I'm still alive, Martin.
Well, I always say, I wake up in the morning, I think, I'm still here. Yep. That's always a good sign. But boy, it's certainly interesting times, isn't it? A lot going on, and the old property spruikers are out like you wouldn't believe.
Oh, look, it's rather amazing. Now we're going to be obviously talking about an article that we've been talking totally opposite. People that are out there that are not listening to us, that are not watching our videos, which is, I'd say 50% of the population. But then again, those 100,000 that want to get into the property market, they're not really listening, and they're going out there and bidding on homes sight unseen, relying on agents, and actually not even a whisper of doing the due diligence or getting the building and pest reports and people being gazumped on price because they're saying, look, we'll offer you so much and somebody else will come on top of that, not only with a much higher offer, but we're also saying, look, it won't be conditional on a builder or pest report because we don't want to do one. We just want to buy the property.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, there was an interesting report from Canstar today. They actually showed that a greater proportion of people were actually researching the price of cars and boats than property. In other words, more people are doing less work on buying property than buying a boat, buying a car. It's crazy. And then, of course, as you said, they don't even bother to get the pest inspection and the building inspection sorted out. Like, it's not really much money, is it? I mean, it's a few hundred thousand, but, who do you care? It just amazes me that people are still absolutely, running after property, going into Zoom auctions and paying over the top, even actually sight unseen in some cases. It's going to end in tears.
Oh, definitely. Look, as we said last week, the WeChat chatterers, the Asian community are looking into those suburbs in Queensland and sight unseen up to 850,000 was the chatter that was being spoken about in a lot of the forums that our team monitors, that's interesting. I mean, but then I've seen it firsthand with people when they were buying in the 2018, 2019 where they're buying pretty much on the day without doing any due diligence and just throwing crazy money at property, not knowing the times that I'd gone under there myself and checked out. Again, as you know, I don't particularly rely on the building and pest reports that are given by the agents, but I do my own before we call in other professionals to give us that second look at it and to make sure that that I hadn't missed anything that would be of major concern in the future. But people were just throwing money left, right, and center. But then you only have to look at what people were doing with buying off the plan, mate. And I mean, just throwing crazy money at developers that that have never built before, that have just obtained the licenses from a box of Cocoa Pops, and along you go. Right? They just get somebody else to stand in as a with a builder's license, and then they call themselves a developer, and then they build high-rise development or commercial developments where you pretty much you don't need any real certification. You just call in mates or those that want to get those brown paper bags or all the reusable bags.
Absolutely. Well, it's an interesting day because it's the 13th of September today, and that's the closing submission date for the current inquiry that's running relating to the supply side housing affordability question, right? So this was initiated by the government. And interestingly, of course, they're only focusing on the supply side stuff, which, of course, is construction and building and planning, which is all state stuff. So they're basically saying nothing to do with us. Housing affordability, it's all to do with those guys down in the States, right? And it's interesting because there have been a number of submissions that I've had a chance to look at, including one from Saul Eslake, who's a very respected independent economist. And he basically said, you've got to understand the maths here, right? There's 100,000 people, new buyers, wanting to get into the market, right? There's 11 million people owning property now, of which 2 million have more than probably two properties or more. Politicians are going to do the maths, right? Who's going to actually have the biggest proportion of votes? Is it first-time buyers or is it that 11 million? Do the math. It's pretty obvious. And, the fact of the matter is that this is complete misdirection. The supply side issues are not the issues, right? The issues are much more to do with credit. The issues are much more to do with 50 years of poor policy. And the government doesn't want to talk about it. They want to sort of misdirect into supply side stuff so they can blame somebody else.
Oh, look, definitely, and as you and I spoke briefly before we started the podcast, I'd be interested to know how many politicians are present that are acting present and that are no longer acting. How many of them own more than two properties? I know that a few own 5, 10, 9. Properties and so on, and do you think these people are going to push the common economy and the affordability question the way it should be pushed, or do you think that they're going to be pushing things in order to feather their own nest? I mean, it's a rhetorical question, but I thought that based on that article that we both read, and also the some of the stuff that I sent you, I thought that gif of the man falling off the ladder was poignant, straight to the point. People are pushing and going hard at trying to climb the property ladder in this high prices that it's being unprecedented, and the demand that's there. Also because the people are so focused on freestanding homes at the moment due to the natural conditions that we're facing, the health conditions that we're facing, and the simple fact that there's a lot of people that don't at the moment are not willing to put the properties on the market or haven't been willing to put the properties on the market, but that may change. So that I thought that gift was very poignant, on point with what people are doing to get in, and hoping that the bank of mum and dad are going to support them when it all comes down.
Yeah, it's hilarious and, absolutely on point. And the other one's actually pretty good too, right? The one with the fridge on the bike.
As I put on Twitter, it's very much similar to the conversations that I had with many young people. And, when I say younger than myself, that are looking to enter the market for the first time, first home buyers and trying to enter the market in areas that are ideal to them, but not necessarily suited to their to the money that they can borrow, have available, or they may have the money, they may be able to borrow the money, they may have the deposits available, they may have the finance. But when you start breaking it all down, do you really want to take that high risk, or because you want to be in a particular suburb, in a particular area with a particular home, or just go a little bit further afield, get more bang for your buck, and sacrifice a little bit to put your family, the young families or families in general, in a better position, with much better economic stability. So that guy riding the fridge, riding the bike with the fridge on his back was just again, on point with what people are doing with regards to mortgages and loans and obtaining finance to buy property.
Yeah, there's a lot of people getting in over their heads, I think, with the low rates and not doing the thinking about what happens if rates go up. But it's interesting because your experience is that some prices are actually, not moving up. They're actually going sideways or even down and quite quickly after listing.
Well, this is rather interesting, Martin, and this is what I'm saying. Are things about to change? I mean, last week or over the last few weeks, we've had a rise from 4,964 homes on market or freestanding homes on market listed on Domain across the Sydney region to last week was about 5,322 or thereabouts. So, we've had an increase of just over 300 homes, but it's still not a lot in comparison to last year. When we first went into lockdown, when we were clocking in the mid 8,000 freestanding homes, and obviously before that, it was a hell of a lot more. So now things are starting to this is all obviously anecdotal, and this is what we're witnessing on the ground. So there's some a few points to share with our followers, with our viewers, and ask the question, are things now turning around? And a few. One is the email, the screenshot that I sent to you with an agent, which I was gobsmacked when I got that on Saturday. A property that had been listed on the market for only 3 days is already or is already experiencing a price reduction. And it's sort of I haven't seen that for a very long time. Typically, homes good homes that get listed, they hold and they hold the value for even in these days, they hold the value until it's pretty much sold. And as you know, they get sold very much above the guides that the agent give you. But in this case, so that was a little bit of a of an eye opener. Followed by another example, which was one of the properties that I may have mentioned in the past, I'm not sure, in an area where we've been negotiating on. And I'll give you the whole a bit of background on this. I'll give our viewers a bit of background on this. So the current agent that we're dealing with, the guide is 2.1 to 2.2 million. Obviously, the vendor's expectations I've known from pretty much when the property came on the market as an off-market listing. It was a genuine off-market listing. They weren't going to go on market for private reasons. And the agent alluded us to it. At that time, the vendor's expectations was 2.2, perhaps even closer to 2.3. Now, I know this also because other local agents that know about the listing, they actually gave a guide on this property of 2.4 to 2.6 as a guide for them to take on the listing. So the current agent that we're dealing with, he was straight out with me. I've dealt with him in the past, many times in the past, and he came straight out and said, "Look, you anywhere between 2.1 and 2.2 is where where the money is, and see what your buyers are prepared to do." Now we've been able to secure that property. Today we've secured it for below 2.1. Now keep in mind that the vendor's expectations was 2.3, and other agents in the area were telling the vendors that they could sell the property for 2.4 to 2.6. So again, another bit of a anecdotal evidence that we've witnessed. Now another one in the another listing in the lower the lower mountains region, came on the market a couple of weeks ago or early last or towards the end of the previous week. So we were trying to get access to it, looking at it for a client of ours, and the agent was booked up from between 2 o'clock and 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and he had no time. I'd like to see properties during the day so as I can get a better opportunity looking at it. I couldn't see it at all. It was very difficult. So I said, "Look, can I make a time for the following week?" And he said, "Mate, tomorrow's inspection, the vendors are going to make a decision." I said, "Hold on a minute. The vendors are going to make a decision after 1 day's inspection." And he said, yeah, like it's in the best interest of the vendor. I felt like really saying, is it in the best interest of the vendor? Or is it in the best interest of you, of the commission that you're going to get, a quicker commission? So a couple of questions arise from that. One is why would the agent, the selling agent, be pushing the vendor to make a decision after the first day? Why would he think, and why would he convince the vendor that that was a good strategy, other than the fact that, there could be something wrong with the property? Or you just simply wanted a quick commission. I kind of think it was that because possibly could be something wrong with the property, and they wanted a quick sale because he said that they also had offers, offers just over the phone offers without people not viewing the property, and they were prepared to move on with it. So if there were more listings on the market, coming on the market, which is something that another agent, prominent agent, had told us only recently, that his accountant that manages a lot of real estate offices because he specializes in that area, he told one of our people that we deal with, our franchisee owners that we deal with, he told them that they've all been talking about the fact that there's a lot of property about to come on the market in spring. Now, again, this is, you could take it as hearsay, you could take it as anecdotal, but what we need to see is the numbers rising from above the 6,000, 6,500 to really start putting a lot of pressure on this market to start dampening that heat that we're experiencing at the moment, because listings are very, very scarce. So that that were things that I've seen of late to make me think, is the market turning around? So it's interesting. These points that we see on the ground that is going to lead to hopefully more listings on market to give those that want to come into the market a better chance and a better opportunity. So going back then to what we've always been saying, Martin, and that is, when you buy, make sure you buy right, because if there is a turn, a slight shift, 5% can make a big difference in a drop, especially when you're borrowing such high amounts of money. Like we talk about, 5% or 2% of drops or 10% drops even. When we're talking about properties worth $750,000 or $1 million, it doesn't seem like a lot. But when you start talking about properties that are worth $2 million, $2.5 million, 5% is a hell of a lot of money.
No, absolutely it is. And talking about listings, I've had a few conversations over the last couple of weeks with property investors who've got troublesome investment properties. In other words, those who are not actually getting the rental returns. In some cases, simply they're in the wrong place, like high rise in areas where there's no demand. And actually, several of them have decided that they are going to put the property in the market, trying to get into the spring rise, try and get rid of it, because they cannot, hand on heart, see any way that that property is going to actually perform for them as originally intended. Now, I just wonder how many other of those investment properties are also going to come on, because that could move the numbers up quite significantly.
Oh, look, quite significantly and rapidly. Even the listings on market for apartments have dropped dramatically. As I said, I'm a firm believer, shout it until till I go blue in the face. The fact that developers, property spruikers, marketing companies that are holding huge rent rolls, investment rent rolls from overseas investors, they're drip feeding the market, where to the point where we're only seeing about 6,500 apartments listed for sale in the Sydney region, which is unprecedented. I mean, pre-pandemics, we were clocking close to 22,000 in 2018, going into 2019, we were seeing very close to 28,000 combined listings of freestanding homes as well as apartments and townhouses and land. So to drop to these numbers, it's just really it's something that I haven't seen before. So the interesting thing with that, Martin, is also the fact that our WeChat chatterers, the main theme through the chatter over the last week has been total dead silence on any talk or any any talk or any rhetoric in relation to anybody looking or asking questions in relation to buying apartments or buying off the plan. That has just totally gone off the boil, keeping in mind that these were the Asian investors that were predominantly looking at apartments for that ongoing yield, and because of the obviously there was a you got the overseas students workforce that stayed longer than the visa allowed them to stay, that rented a lot of these apartments. So that was a good cash cow for them for many of these developments in the highly built up areas close to the universities, tertiary education and infrastructure. But now they've gone totally off the boil. And yeah, so with what you're seeing with your surveys and what people have been telling you, it's no surprise because our WeChat chatterers have been telling us that all along anyway, and they've been focusing on freestanding homes, as we've been saying for a while now.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, I think it'll be interesting. The developments, I think, over the next 3 months could well, take a turn. And if they do, it could move quite quickly. So it'll be worth watching and keeping an eye on all the numbers. But, of course, a lot of people aren't even bothered to look inside. They're just buying, sticker, right, and just seeing the photo and saying, I'll buy that, right, according to an article in The Guardian.
This is absolutely, it's in your face. As I said, I've seen it in the past with, in the Asian areas of, in the North Shore, in the Upper North Shore, in the around your Eastwoods, Carlingfords, and all this, and people were just throwing money. Not only that, but also other parts of Sydney in the West, when when properties there in the Blacktown LGA were around the 650, 600, 650, you could take a punt on at those figures. But right now, trying to take a punt on properties at this price with sight unseen, and also foregoing any due diligence just so that you can get in the property ladder. I mean, that GIF that we shared earlier on speaks volumes.
Absolutely. And, we're talking millions of dollars here, not 100,000, right? And, we just keep saying, guys, you've got to do the work. You need to take the time to make sure that what you're getting is what you think you're getting. Because, if you buy a lemon, it'll be a lemon.
Oh, look, exactly. It's not going to turn into a peach. And if you buy something, make sure it's not expired, Martin. Some of the goods that now we're getting delivered have got expiry dates from the 30th of August and the 17th of August. What the hell is going on? Not only is shopping Dusty and Evan, they're kicking up a stink. They love their yogurt. But now they're telling me, it doesn't taste as good. And I find out it's, from the 30th and 17th of August. That's a little bit of a sidetrack, but
supply chain disruptions once again, right? Wherever you look, it's getting disrupted. Yeah. Well, the other interesting thing in that other article that we should talk about is the equity release strategy, right? So there's a lot of refinancing going on at the moment. In fact, the volume of refinancing is probably as high as it's been for a good long time. But a lot of people are pulling massive amounts of equity out as they refinance. So they're using their house as a piggy bank because, of course, prices have gone up. Now, just think about that. So basically what you're doing is you're eating into your equity and you're pulling that money down and using it to, buy other things or whatever, or buy another property. You're increasing your debt. Now, how sensible is that, given the fact that prices are very high and the market could be on the turn?
Exactly, Martin. And this is, once again, what we've been talking about. There could be a number of reasons why people are doing this. The first one that comes to mind is that obviously they bought wrong, and they want to do and they need to fix it, which could be could cost tens of thousands of dollars or even hundreds of thousands of dollars. A few of the videos that I've sent you, with regards to where we've identified issues in properties and properties that some of our clients have bought, and we're in the process of helping them rectify it. But we've made an allowance, we've made an adjustment in the price offer for that. We've gone in there, not blind like others in that previous article are going into buying property, but we've gone in there with eyes open, not eyes shut, to buy property, these properties, and we've made allowances for that. So that could be one of the things that they're tapping into the equity of homes that they bought 12 months ago, 18 months ago, 2 years ago, because now they're these issues, they don't get any better just because you're paying more for the property. It actually costs you a hell of a lot more to fix, and it's because of the supply chain disruptions, getting things fixed is going to get more and more expensive, as we've also discussed. So that's point number one. Point number two is, you and I spoke about, particularly with my industry, how I've been saying since 2016, 2017, that although properties were going up in value, but what was noticeable is that the listings on market had gone down rapidly and considerably, which meant that a lot of agents and agencies were not making money, because you make money when you sell property. You don't make money because property values go up, unless you own investments yourself. So I've been saying for a number of years now that a lot of real estate agencies have been running on two credit cards, the third credit card to pay off the other credit cards, and the fourth credit card to pay theirs. Some agencies that I know of were running on up to $140,000, $150,000 on credit card debt alone. So now we said that what actually saved the industry, the real estate industry, was the pandemic. Because of the pandemic, obviously, we've got this rise in property values because pretty much we lost almost 50% of listings on market, and that made it a vendor's market, and price, and people were paying silly money to get into that safety and security aspect, the demographic change of that lifestyle change that people were looking for, that you and I have discussed many a times. So that equity, now they've tapped, I feel, many business owners, not just the real estate agents, owners of real estate agencies, but other business owners have tapped into equity to fund the ongoing issues that the businesses are facing, which is money not coming in, a lot of money going out in leases, machinery leases, car leases, the leases of the premises, staffing, and the list goes on, but yet there's not a great deal of money coming in. So when you've got $93 billion over a year of refinancing, of money going out and not a lot coming in, alarm bells start ringing, and you sort of start thinking, what the hell is going on? And as we've said, and we've alluded to earlier on in the podcast, we said that an incremental shift of 2%, even 5%, God forbid, 10%, is going to make a huge difference now, because 10% of a million is 100,000, but 10% of 2 million or 2.5 is 250,000 that people are going to be in the hole for if things should really go pear shaped in the property arena.
Yeah, so interestingly, nobody quite knows where prices are going to go. Of course, a lot of people are expecting that the government will move heaven and earth to keep prices going up, right? But of course, that costs money and yet more money and taxpayers' money ultimately. So it'll be interesting to see whether they do that, or whether ultimately the gravity, which we know is always there, comes to play. But people pulling equity out when prices are so high, for all sorts of interesting purposes, from doing the granny flat in the garden through to buying a boat or whatever, I'm worried about that. I think that just tells us that we are in the heady stupidity area of the property cycle. So we'll see where it goes.
It is interesting. Taking a point back there, Martin, with what you just said. Look, I can understand a granny flat in the backyard, pulling equity to build a granny flat, because it will produce an income. Or if it's not for income producing purposes, it's also a great way to consolidate the family, or the the children come back home and they live, you can still live in your own dwelling and consolidate in order to get ahead. And because people aren't willing to live in high-rise development, so they need a bit of space, so you can get that. So, but when you start talking about boats and cars, and those toys and ski jets and everything else, it's insane. But I think I'm one to believe that, lean more towards the point that it's a lot of business people that are pulling equity just to keep the businesses afloat. And let's not forget, Martin, that commercial leases aren't like your residential leases where you just give notice and you can stick the middle finger up to the landlord and the property manager and just walk away and pay a penalty of 4 weeks or 6 weeks. You're tied up for the duration of that lease period, which is generally 3 to 5 years on a commercial lease, and they can sue your ass and you're liable for that debt. So let alone your fancy toys that are now worth a hell of a lot more as well because of supply chain issues as well, because cars, high-end cars and the issues that they're having, obviously it's they're increasing in value. We got secondhand vehicles that are increasing in value dramatically, let alone all these toys that are floating around.
Absolutely. Well, people shouldn't worry because according to the Courier Mail, investors are piling in. So everything's fine.
Everything's fine. Investors are piling in. Don't worry. Go out and party. Party like it's 1999. Wasn't that Prince on? She'll be right, mate. She'll be right. Look, it's... this shifting and changing has ignited areas where people wouldn't otherwise have gone to. But look, I guess on the other side of that coin, Martin, with that article, you've got the Brisbane grandmother that showed a little bit of compassion for that young couple, and actually they. She chose them because she didn't want her house to be knocked down and wanted to see it standing for the next 20, 30 years, however long she would continue to live for, because it held great memories. So this young couple snagged a property that others bid a lot higher for, and they were going to knock it down to build something else on, whereas these young guys were young couple are going to basically renovate it and keep most of it as is to showcase it, to just to make it home. One thing is looking at property as an investment. Another thing is looking at property as a home. Two worlds apart. And this is where the government fails to understand and fails to support the general population. We don't need investments. We need homes. We need homes that are sustainable, that can sustain young families, growing families that are going to be paying down the debt that the current government's getting us into right now.
That's right. That's going to be the next generation and the next generation after that, probably, looking at the amount of debt there. But it is very interesting, right, because it does take you to that fundamental question about what is property for, right? Is it a commodity just like, bananas, right? So supply, demand, price, investment, whatever. Or is it actually something else? Is it actually, is it a human right? Is it a human right to be able to afford to get into a property and, to live there and to use it as a place of safety and security, right? And somewhere my view is we've swung the dial way too far towards investing. And in fact, even many owner-occupiers put the investment lens glasses on when they think of the property, rather than seeing it as a home, a place of safety, of security, and all those things. And it's interesting because when I talk to people sometimes in my one-to-one sessions, right, I try to tease out from them, if they're owner-occupiers, whether they truly are thinking about this property in terms of it as somewhere to live and to put down roots and all those things, or are they really still applying the investor lens on it, which is about, well, I'm going to get some capital appreciation, I don't really care where I live. I just want to make money on it. Because fundamentally, those two doctrinal positions are absolutely polar opposites. You know, there's a whole bunch of differences in terms of where you look, what you buy, how you assess value, all those things. And I worry that sometimes we have owner-occupiers who actually contaminate their decisions because they're too orientated towards the investor end of the perspective, obviously stimulated by all the adverts and stimulated by all the articles, you know, investors pile back on those things. But there is a really important question here, because to me, property is more about human right than a commodity.
Oh, look, yeah, on point, and there's nothing more to add to that, Martin. I totally, totally agree with you. These politicians again, left, right, Labor, Liberal, green, blue, red, or otherwise, once they get into the property arena themselves, it's, you know, the whole philosophy and policies just seem to be polarized towards the shit that we're seeing right now. No matter what persuasion you are, but a real, genuine, affordable housing to look after the family unit that needs that, particularly the young ones that need that space in that area to grow, to be stimulated and become the great athletes that Australia has produced over the decades, to become the great heroes and heroines that Australia has birthed over the decades is just diminishing and being taken away, and the pressure comes on, and then there's the family unit breakdowns because of all these pressures, and it's a mess, unfortunately.
No, it is. It's interesting because we've pretty much reprised my submission to the to that federal review, right? Which basically, I concluded that the fundamental question on affordability has to be thinking much harder about what property is for and all those things that we've touched on that, and also the fact is that a lot of politicians, as you say, are in the game rather than actually observers of the game, and that's a problem because it means they're going to take decisions that are more aligned to their own interests rather than the interests of the people in the community that they serve. I think the third one is that the overall philosophy, you know, the Reserve Bank and APRA are both who say nothing to do with us, prices, you know, we don't have any influence of it. Well, actually, my analysis says monetary policy and lending standards are the two biggest things that make a difference to what happens with regard to prices. So that doesn't work. But the final point is this, Edwin. If you are overcommitted to property and you're paying a huge amount of mortgage, right, you have less disposable income for other things, right? In other words, you're going to be buying less at the shops. And so what I don't get is why people in, you know, the federal level in particular don't get that huge property prices and huge mortgages sucks the air out of the rest of the economy and stops it being as productive as it could actually be. What we need is actually property that's affordable so people can spend more on other things that actually could make more of the economy and, you know, small business and everything else. But no. We're just going to drive the property sector to the sky. And, I think I said to you on a previous post, you know, defining the Australian economy these days, it's basically a housing market with a little bit of an economy bolted on the side.
Well, that's right, and then you start getting looking into the toys, and you start looking into all those things that really don't add value to the family unit, the family nucleus. With that, because there's less to spend on the family, there's less to spend on yourself as an individual or just as a couple with pets. The lifestyles that you live, you're starting to do away with your with eating healthy. You start doing away with having the time to prepare to eat healthy, and you start more going towards that area of the fast food outlets and the fast food and the bad diets, and then you've got that other side, of that of that cube, and which is that dice that the government roll, and that is then you start having issues with obesity and health issues, and hence the reason why our health institutions and our health facilities can't cope with a bloody pandemic the way it should in order to keep things going. And the economy flowing along and supporting the small businesses that are currently suffering. I mean, we could go on and on, Martin, but at the end of the day, unfortunately, it's these bloody politicians that are wielding the stick, and we just have to look at ways to assist each other.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, my perspective has been for some time, no strategy, no vision. Very much tactical, very much operational, and very much repeating the history of the past. And as somebody said the other day to me, the definition of madness is doing the same thing again and again and again, expecting a different outcome. Well, guess what? The government is doing the same again, and we're seeing the same outcome. So, and talking of same outcomes, you've got a warning, right? It's going to be hot. If it could be hot and dry this summer, you better get on with it, right? Before you won't be able to get any air conditioners.
Well, look, it's the tip of the week, Martin. It's look, I'm a believer that if we have a wet winter, I called it when my colleagues were telling me what I thought of what type of winter we're going to have this year. I said, look, it's going to be a very wet winter, and we have been. And now they're asking me what type of summer are we going to have? Do you think we're going to have? And I'm one to think that it's going to be a very hot and dry summer, regardless of whether or not it's a dry and hot summer or whatever you may think. But it's going to definitely be hot. Could be hot and wet summer. It's still going to be hot. Our tip is, my tip for this week is, start thinking about updating your air conditioning units for your tenants' properties, your investment properties, for your tenants, for yourselves, for your principal place of residence. You haven't done so in many years. Start looking at that very, very closely. And whilst you're at it, start also looking at your gas heating units for the water, and your hot water systems, because these appliances are going to become very, very expensive in 2022. So I would suggest that for obvious reasons, now you try and get things done with air conditioning before summer, not in the middle of summer when everybody else when it's sweltering hot and everybody else is calling the air conditioning companies and installers to come and install. They obviously jack the price up because of the demand. So start now. Because it's just the nature of this beast, not only what's happened over the years, but more so now with this supply chain disruptions. And on that note, Martin, last week I actually, it took me 3 weeks to see the optometrist. I finally got to see the optometrist. As I was saying before, any medical issues that you may have that you think you may like to consider because of your age, because of your natural condition, not be it age or just the way we were born. I've always had issues with my eyes since I was a kid, so I've needed reading glasses all my life. So, I finally got that appointment after waiting for three weeks. Went to the optometrist, and happy days. They were running a special two frames for the for the price of 1.5. So I went with the two because, again, you just don't know how those supply chains are going to be disrupted in the future. So you got to take advantage of the situations, man.
Now, Edwin, you missed an opportunity. You should have put an order in for some rose tinted spectacles like the RBA use. Because when they wear their spectacles, everything looks perfect.
I did ask for those, and they said no. Lowy's already got the he's got the he's cornered the market.
I'm not surprised, Edwin. As always, very, very insightful comments. Thank you very much for your time today, and I look forward to doing it all again next week, when there'll be a whole bunch of new things to talk about, but I suspect we'll touch on some of the same thematics, because we do sort of go around the houses, but we come back to the same fundamentals, right? Which is be cautious, be careful, do the work, and don't just listen to the spookers.
No, look, that's correct. And look, we'll keep our eye on the numbers. And again, look, it's a conversation that needs to be had. If I sort of want to think that if the spruikers are out there spruiking day in, day out, 24/7, why people should buy, there's no harm in us, having this chat, and albeit that they roll, over the topics over and over again. But it's the same philosophy. We got to counter and help people to become a little bit more wiser, as opposed to just going all in sight unseen. Look, you might as well jump off the Harbour Bridge. I mean, that's, you're better off doing that, because the pain, it's going to be less painful, because it's all over and done with in a matter of seconds.
Yeah, I was going to say, at least this outcome there is probably certain, whereas it's less so when you buy property. And it's worth just, as we close, we're not saying don't buy property. What we're saying is buy the right property at the right price, using the right processes, so that you're protected on the way in. Because as you keep saying, what you buy and when you buy and the price you buy is the most critical question, right? And yet, a lot of people just forget that.
Ah, exactly. Emotion and fear is the powerful tools that the government and the property pundits and spruikers use. And I've just gone through it with my son, and got around and now got him a great little property, a starter, and happy days, and we move on, and we're hoping to do the same for a lot of newcomers into the market, and climb that ladder and stay on and be on solid ground, as opposed to on shaky ground that's just any hiccup's gonna send you amiss. I mean, look, without going into this the bloody reasons where we are, where we're at right now with this pandemic, and not belaboring on that, look at the decisions that many people have to make right now, and how that's going to affect moving forward with their affordability of properties that they bought 2 years ago, in areas where where the prices, where they still pay 2 million, 2.5, 3 million, 3.2 million, 2 years ago, and now they have to make a decision, a medical decision that's going to could have very, vast and drastic effect on their lifestyle and on the affordability, whether or not they could keep that principal place of residence.
Absolutely, Edwin. Well, I'll leave you with this closing thought, right? We're talking about what's called a punctiliar action, right? Which is an action at a point in time, but which resonates forward, right? Buying property and some of the other things you've been talking about are all punctiliar actions, because the decision you take today has ramifications a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years down the track. Just worth reflecting on that.
Look, exactly. And look, again, you're on point, Martin, and there's nothing more to be added to that. And I think we'll leave it at that. And I'll start thinking more about the punctiliar actions that I'll be taking moving forward. And as we go out there and see what other nuggets we can get for our followers and our viewers.
All power to your elbow, Edwin. Thanks very much. See you next week. Cheers.